There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You thinking about saying goodbye, Hugh?
Oh, to Bryce?
Could be.
Hey, man, if he goes somewhere and becomes a better player, then so be it. I'm happy for him. He got paid, though.
Perspective from Hugh Douglas.
Are you rooting for him to go somewhere and play better?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, because I think he deserves it.
This is the Tobias Harris fan in you.
No, it's not. It's the fan of the player that I feel like he, you know, I think as good as Coach Fangio is, he could have worked a little bit more with Bryce Huff. That's what I'm thinking.
I actually was talking about saying goodbye to your beard, but that you spun it to the Huff thing.
Oh, no, I'm not. I've already, you know, that's probably not going to happen.
No. No, it's gone.
Man, I got, what, 8 games?
Hold on. They get to play Cooper Rush and Bryce Young
and Daniel Jones.
So you're counting on these games. You're counting. Like, I'll give you the Jacksonville game. Mm-hmm. I thought they would play better. They didn't. But you still got L.A.
They played well in the Jacksonville game defensively.
You got L.A. No, I'm saying that. I'm talking about Jacksonville. But you still got L.A.
Oh, you need. We're trying to. This is conflicting. You're talking about points for the team, and you also want to get to New Orleans.
Listen,
what matters most?
Let me tell you. This is how I workshopped this in my mind.
Okay.
I'm okay with cutting my beard if it gets us to New Orleans. But I can have the best of both worlds. I can have them score, our offense score a lot of points, and the teams that we play against mm-hmm. score a lot of points mm-hmm. and still keep my beard.
You know,
but either way, I'm cool with it.
You've already conceded that defense is a necessity here.
No, I mean, that was a faux pas.
The truth will set you free, Hugh Douglas. 215-592-9494. All right. We have our ultimate tailgate giveaway. Starts today on the midday show, and we're going all the way for the next couple weeks here, giving away qualifying spots in this, and then a grand prize coming up in a couple weeks. It's the biggest thing we've ever given away on the midday show. We're really excited about it. We thank Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances for providing us. I mean, listen to this, Hugh. A Jack Daniels Yeti cooler, a Jack Daniels Cornhole set, Jack Daniels Giant Jenga, a smoker, and a 55-inch TV. It's an incredible giveaway. We'll have qualifiers. If you win today, you're automatically qualified for the grand prize. Today, we got some great giveaways, including Jack Daniels Rocks glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, smoking chips, and a tote bag. We're looking for the best game day combination. Best one we hear today is going to win today's prize and get automatically qualified for the big one. 215-592-9494. If you just hopped in, here's the bottom line. I want Micah Parsons. The Cowboys should sell. They are a mess. Dak Prescott's on the IR. Jerry Jones has no idea what he's doing anymore.
And yet, they went out and they got somebody.
Yeah, they traded for a receiver. I don't think it matters. If you throw the right offer in front of Jerry, he might make the deal. If I'm Howie Roseman, I'm calling Jerry Jones today. I'm saying very simply this. I offer you 2 first-round picks. You give us Micah Parsons. Would you do it? We're also talking about the idea of a running back here to help spell Saquon a little bit. He's on pace for almost 400 touches. The Eagles could look into a running back as well before the deadline. 215-592-9494. I haven't checked the Twitter poll today. And I you know what? I think I'm going to, because I imagine the people today are seeing this Parsons thing clearly. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Would you trade 2 ones for Micah Parsons? I'm getting a lot of pushback here from Hugh, who I'm not even sure anymore actually wants to get to the Super Bowl. He's a great player.
No, but we're talking about 2 firsts and a massive contract. When does that happen?
Yeah, because he's going to want to get paid.
That doesn't happen anymore because it's not realistic.
Well, it doesn't happen because teams usually don't trade away players of this ilk.
And they also don't trade multiple first-round picks.
Yeah, they usually don't. But
they find better deals.
Well, sure. But you also have this reality. It's a young team, and I look forward. And if you believe in Jalen, there's not many long-term holes that are necessitating having these first-round picks. Lane's replacement, that's all I got. If we're good at defensive tackle, we're good at pass rusher, we're good at corner, we're good at left tackle, we're good at receiver, we're good at quarterback, what are you using the first-round pick on?
It's okay, so it's not just what you use the first-round pick on, it's what it allows you to do for the rest of the draft.
I understand.
If you address your biggest needs with your best picks in the first round, then you have the other picks to do those kind of things.
I get it.
Like, the reason that we have a defense that looks promising right now is because we built it through the draft.
Not
I mean,
sure.
The big move we made, getting Bryce Huff here, hasn't worked out.
And that's why you fix the mistake by going to get the best pass rusher available.
Or a different pass rusher for cheaper.
Yeah, you could. Or would you trade 2 first-round picks for Micah Parsons? Yes at 60%, no at 40. At least most people are seeing this thing clear today. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
But anyway, I did have another.
You think Bruce in the meeting?
I think so. When we talk about the eye test package not being complete,
this is meeting Bruce.
Is Bruce at work?
Yeah, this is like buttoned up Bruce office Bruce.
How about Bruce got two phones? You working them both?
You know what? It's interesting. And we'll put Bruce on hold. I always wonder what our audience does when they're not talking to us. And I obviously, you know, we know some people.
I always picture nothing. I picture them sitting there.
Bruce is multitasking
on the phone.
So here's what I know. Chris has told us he works from home, right? We know a few of our callers, or at least a couple of you, drive trucks. I think 2 or 3, right? We know that for sure. Derek, I believe, is a driver. And we know Jeff and Jerry are drivers, right? So they're on the road when they talk to us. I get that. But I do wonder sometimes. So that was office buttoned up, shirt and tie maybe, Bruce?
That's right. Maybe. We know what Herb
making
does.
Making moves kind of Bruce?
We know what Herb does, yeah.
Bruce, I'm looking at a threesome.
Bruce was running a meeting there. I mean, that was a clear meeting that Bruce was running.
Bruce does run things.
There's no question. Big V, I don't know what he does, but I know he's on the phone with us. What's up, Big V?
Is that $2 million on that?
You got to be kidding me.
I'm multitasking. Hey, guys.
Big V, what's up?
Big V, what are you doing?
Are you working?
Yeah, I'm working.
All right.
Same.
Yeah, okay.
I guess that's acceptable.
For almost 2 hours. What do you want me to do in the meantime? Twiddle my thumbs?
No. I want you to write your notes down on what you're going to say and be ready to go.
Now, notes.
Big V,
notes.
What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Okay, first of all, that ain't going to happen. Second of all, once again, Joe Giglio talking silly-o.
What do you mean?
Really?
What do you mean?
2 first-round draft picks? So
yes.
You're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater? For what?
To get one of the great young pass rushers in NFL history.
Yeah, great in the NFL history,
yeah.
But you know what? This guy is such a candy ass that he's going to take a hit and he's out.
Because we don't like him. That's it. Because we don't like him and he's a cowboy. All right.
No, not the fact that he's a cowboy, although that is a strike against him. But if he's your white whale, you're going to be Ahab with this guy.
That's fine.
You're going to die on it.
I was dying on the Soto. You know, a few years ago, Big V, I tried the same thing with Soto and said, oh, he doesn't fit the clubhouse. We don't want him here. And now everyone's sacrificing for Juan Soto.
I'll tell you what. We get Soto, I'll sacrifice my black card to my wife for a whole month.
Wow.
Oh, black card. Okay, big baller, shot caller. Nice.
Yeah. But listen, first, on this Kelce thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, everybody's giving Kelce a heck of a lot more, you know, grace than they gave Nick. And we are talking about two human beings who are at the limit of people in their BS, throwing stuff in their face, and not expecting anything to happen. And because, like I said before, media, social media, people have been so emboldened to say things that the dog...
Is everyone okay?
Yeah, the dog is like...
Goodness gracious.
Oh, sorry. Got the dogs loose.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, I think we know that by now. Is everyone okay, Big V?
Yeah, everybody's okay.
I don't think they like Big V's take.
Yeah, so they hate your take. They want Parsons. You hear that, right? Those dogs want Parsons.
No, those dogs wanted Parsons. I have them picked in my next draft pick betting. But
so, Big V, I understand your point. People, I do agree with you, have been emboldened to act like idiots and then think there's no repercussions. But, Big V, there is a difference. Like, Jason Kelce's on TV and does a podcast now. Nick Sirianni's the head coach of an NFL team.
Yeah,
the difference.
But still, they both give national looks.
No, I know. No, and I don't think it's a good look for either of them to go yelling back and screaming and taking phones like Kelce did. I'm with you.
Okay, I mean, sometimes it's not a good look. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you just like to, you know, smack a mofo in the mouth for what he says.
Well, I get it. I mean, I think everyone sometimes wants to retaliate. All right, Big V, what's your favorite game day combination? What do you got for us?
Oh, man. I got the wings and whiskey.
Wings and whiskey. Now, what do you think of that combo, Hugh Douglas?
You know,
I'm hot wings.
I mean, wings are good. I like whiskey.
Yeah, so put them together.
I can't eat. I can't. If I'm drinking, I'm drunk.
Some hot wings, wash it down with some nice Tennessee bourbon. It's a beautiful thing.
A good one.
No, I believe you.
Jack Daniels is sponsoring this. I mean, that's
It's just not. If I'm drinking Jack, I'm drinking Jack. And if I'm drinking Jack,
don't
I'm drinking
you get
honey
hungry?
Jack. No, I'm not so, if I'm drinking.
Don't you get thirsty?
No, if I'm drinking, I'm drinking.
No, but if you're eating, don't you get thirsty?
Well, I drink a soda. I can't, for whatever, the taste of alcohol and food for me does not mix.
Maybe you're not drinking the right alcohol food pairing.
The pairing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that. I tried the beer pairing.
There's an inherent issue that I'm discovering with this thing.
Yeah. What's that?
How can we do a combo giveaway with a guy who just doesn't believe in combos?
I do believe in combos. Gummies and chips. Gummies and ice cream.
That's not a bad game day combo either.
That is a game day combo.
I said not bad.
Gummies
Hold
and cake.
I'm with
I think the
cake
thing,
and ice cream.
I think what we're realizing is anything with the gummies is going
to
work.
No, but I'm saying cake and ice cream. That's the only combo that I like, cake and ice cream. And it has to be pound cake.
So beer and wings, no.
No.
Pound cake and ice cream.
Pound cake and ice cream, yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. All right, you know what else combination that you did like? And I guess you still do, even
What's
though.
What's that?
You know, you're kind of like writing his obituary for him. At one point, you liked the idea of Bryce Huff rushing the quarterback for the Eagles. Let's listen yesterday. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, on the latest. And this was yesterday. You'll hear him talking about Za'Darius Smith, who, by the way, is a Lion now. But the idea of maybe Huff's traded by the deadline today.
And then he got all the edge rushers. Did not sound when I came on the show as if anything was imminent between the Lions and the Browns for Za'Darius Smith. It seemed for like 3 weeks that that's probably going to happen, but it's not actually taking place just yet. There certainly is going to be interest in guys like Bryce Huff, who was one of the Eagles' big free agent signings, played all six snaps yesterday after getting his hand apparently banged up in warmups or something. That's a name that I would think is going to get some potential action.
Bryce Huff.
All six snaps is crazy, though.
So
that was crazy.
Here's the thing. So we now have two people that cover either the league or the team locally, right? Yesterday was Jeff McClain tweeting that maybe the six snaps on Sunday could mean he's on the trade block. And then you have Tom Pelissero here that's not local, right? He's not locked into covering the Eagles. And that means he's hearing that name when he talks to people around the NFL.
Yeah.
It makes me think that there is a chance they do just give up on the Bryce Huff experiment and trade him away today.
Yeah, and it is kind of weird that, you know, he only got six snaps. It's obvious to me that he doesn't fit what the Eagles are trying to do or what Coach Fangio is trying to do. So they're trying to put him in a situation, I guess, for them to be successful and him to be successful as well.
So Vic did speak earlier today. He kind of doubled down on what Nick said yesterday, that Huff had hurt his hand in pregame warmups, and that's what happened here, and that's why he didn't play. You know, Hugh, I thought about this. You ever heard of a pass rusher hurting his hand in a warmup and not playing?
Dude. What's his name? JPP blew his whole hand off and played. So, no.
Like if
blew
it was
his whole hand off.
If it was a muscle pull, I'd buy it more, right? He hurt his hamstring. He hurt his quad, right? Like, you know, a shoulder. It was bizarre to me that it's a hand wrist. Don't passers put clubs on their hands and wrap it up and go?
JPP blew his whole hand off and played. I think he played, if I'm not mistaken, he either played that weekend or the following weekend. So that dog don't hunt. I don't know. Like
something's off with this whole thing.
Whole hand.
It's an off.
Playing with fireworks, blew it off. Boom. Play football.
Let's hear from Vic Fangio. He spoke today, coordinator's press conferences about the trade deadline. Does he think they need something? Is anything coming here? Here's Fangio earlier today.
You expressed your opinion about trade deadline moves. Where do you think things stand today? Do you expect to have a new player? And do you think that your opinion factors into that?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that we're involved with anything either way. So I'm assuming we're not involved with anything. And I'm pleased with what we got and to move forward with it.
So, I mean, Fangio, either he's not telling us or they're not telling him. I mean, I didn't expect him to come out and say, hey, guys, Howie's cooking something up. Wait for 3 o'clock today. You know, I think he's almost got to say that because if he says, I hope we get something.
Yeah, you're not operating from a position of power, so you got to do that.
And also makes it sound like he doesn't believe in what he has. But I don't know. Did anyone ask Vic if he wants Micah Parsons? I bet he would have said yes.
Blew his whole hand off, dog, and played.
Played for a long time after that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Won two Super Bowls. One with the Giants.
And then the Bucs.
I think one with the, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the team that Brady was on with the Tampa Bay.
Blew his whole hand off and was out there balling.
Here's my question. Could you have gotten 80 sacks with one hand?
I played with a broken hand before.
But you had two hands.
Yeah, but it was like a club. I had a club on my hand. It was my senior year. It was my last year of school. I was like.
And you got drafted off that? That's pretty good.
On one hand. I mean, so it's like one of those things where it's like, my hand hurt, coach. Seriously, well, you're going to give you six snaps. No, that dog.
All right, let's go around the room before we go back to the phones here. Are you willing, if an offer comes in today, to give up on the Bryce Huff experiment? It's a big old yes.
What am I, if I'm getting something back for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it is what it is, man.
From
he's not playing.
The most sacks in NFL history to out.
Hey, man, listen. My opinion is fluid.
I'm shocked.
And it moves like water.
Hey, new info, new opinion. It's a core value.
It is a core value.
He's got new info that Huff stinks.
My opinion is like water. It flows, and it goes where
this would be record giving up on a signing. I mean, we're 8 weeks in, nine weeks in.
If they give up on him, what can I do? He's not going to be an Eagle anymore.
You could put up a stink. You could scream.
I could put up a stink and scream.
You have a microphone.
Nobody's going to care. Somebody's going to tell me, get over it.
I got to say, this sort of flips, though, the whole conversation about, like, the Eagles made the Jets look like idiots. The Jets are going to be the ones left with the pass rusher. And true. We're going to be the ones with their scraps.
They have Hassan Reddick. And
the reality kicked in for Kyle. He's like, wow, this is what's going to happen.
Look, I'm willing to face the reality. The reality is that Bryce Huff sucks.
I wonder.
No, he doesn't suck. Well, I just think he's not in a position to be successful.
Yeah, which, you know, is a nice way of saying he stinks.
No, it's not. It's like he's not in a position to be successful.
Because maybe he can't put himself in that position because he's not capable.
You do not get 10 sacks by accident. I do not believe that to be the case.
So I agree with you, but maybe he was good then and he's not good now.
I don't think that Coach Fangio knows how to use him.
Hold on. Jason Babin got a bunch of sacks on accident.
20 of them. Didn't he have like 18 and 18 and a half? Yeah. He had a lot of sacks that one year.
Some guys do get, like, wasn't Ray saying before the season that a lot of his sacks were Babin-esque last year with the Jets?
That's funny that somebody was mad at Jason Babin for getting sacks. But that's
not mad.
Well,
he wasn't liked here.
Yeah, I think it's just.
That's crazy to me. Why wasn't Jason Babin liked here?
He's a jerk.
I didn't know
that. Well, because that team sucked and he was getting, you know, he was the wide
tribal
nine
tattoo
nonsense.
Guy. Get out of here.
Yeah, Jason Babin. He's enough of that.
You didn't like the tribal tattoo?
Jason Babin was not likable.
Yeah, not if he's not getting 20 sacks.
Get him out. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
You, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Usually I'm at work, but today while I was on hold, man, I was on that treadmill, man.
There we go. Get a little workout in while you listen. What are we doing? Yeah. An incline? Or you just do a flat? How are we doing the treadmill today?
Regular 30-minute run.
Good, there we go.
Straight 30 minutes, no stopping. Got my water on the side. Drink it while I'm running.
Just like Hugh Douglas, at the 30-minute run, walk, whatever he does in the morning. You guys are similar.
Yeah,
we got to get
a 30-minute run challenge going, Hugh. I mean, get that health going, you know what I mean?
Maybe a little run club here on the Midday Show.
I've been run walking.
Run walk.
Yeah.
Now we got to run. For
somebody was clowning me about my shoes, though. They said my shoes look worn.
Mine worn out too. Don't worry about that, man. You got to wear them until they run.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought you get like what a couple thousand miles on a pair of shoes, right?
Yeah.
I got a new pair and I don't even wear them. I wear my old ones still.
Yeah, I probably do need to get some new shoes.
What are you thinking on Micah?
Man, the fact of the matter is, if we don't make no move, it's going to feel like the Philadelphia Phillies at the end of the season. I feel like The fact of the matter is, we do need another pass rusher if we don't want to admit that we do. And I think Micah Parsons, if you bring Micah Parsons over here, he cannot double Jalen Carter no more. Sweat's going to get more sacks in there. It's going to make the defense more potent. And we all know, I agree with Kyle, Micah Parsons is a joke, but he's a hell of a player. I feel like he's been on a dumpster fire of a team the last couple of years. The Dallas Cowboys, and at this time, Jerry Jones didn't see now. He might just pull the trigger, man, because Dallas ain't going nowhere. And Micah Parsons, he's an undercover Philadelphia sports fan anyway.
We're getting somewhere.
We see him on a podcast talking about CJ. We see him talking to Slay. We see him at the Sixers game wearing Sixers jerseys. He's an undercover. He don't want to say this because he knows he went to Penn State. He's an undercover Eagles fan.
So bring him home. You know, bring Micah home.
Bring him home. You know he wants to come here. Like, He is a punk ass. Bring him over. Bring him on over.
That wore the Sixers jersey to the Sixers playoff game.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
man.
Then flew to Boston.
Yes. Thank you.
Dude is a fraud. I want 41 and a half sacks. He's a player.
And he said, I root for everybody. Who did he say? Well, who called him out about that?
It was like, Tatum.
Tatum called him out. Yeah.
See, this is personal.
I root for everybody.
You guys don't like him.
No, he's got loser energy, fraud energy.
They all have loser energy in Dallas.
No, no, no. Well, yeah, okay. And you want to invite that to this team. Didn't we just go through an entire end of last season where we're like, we need to figure out what the issue was in this locker room.
You think he'd destroy this team?
I think he would not help it if they went through a patch of adversity. I think he would accelerate that. Look what he's doing in Dallas.
But I think he's not willing to take that chance.
He's not a foxhole guy.
You know what he is? He's a good passer.
A loser.
Jalen Carter, Terrence, and Parsons rushing together.
Parker.
That's how you take down Detroit and Kansas City.
You look at everybody making moves. We got to make a move, man. We're not going to be able to beat Detroit. They just got Darius Smith. He's a dog. That's going to make their defense so much better. They're already balling without Hutchinson. We need a defensive player. I need a running back. Howie, make a move, please, if you hear this. Don't go out like the Phillies went out. Please don't do it.
That's a good plea. I hope they're listening to you. Terrence,
please don't do it.
Don't be a Dombrowski, Howie. All right, Terrence.
It's starting to bleed over into other sports.
Yeah, it is. Terrence, what are you thinking here? A combination, combo. What do you got?
I'm surprised nobody said this, man. Growing up, man, I used to love being in the living room with my uncle, my dad, all the guys, while the woman was in the kitchen cooking. Thanksgiving and football.
Oh, man. Thanksgiving and football. We'll just leave it at that part of it, Terrence. We appreciate it. We'll just isolate the Thanksgiving.
In this day and age,
Thanksgiving and football.
Terrence, that kind of sounds like go make me a sandwich. Be quiet and go make me a sandwich.
That's why I was trying to isolate just the Thanksgiving and football.
I don't think that dog gonna hunt.
It's probably not. Yeah,
not in this economy.
No. How about we switch into this? You go make your own food, then you sit down and watch Thanksgiving football.
Yeah, things like that. I do love
football on Thanksgiving.
No, it's the best. It's the best.
It's Greg Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
As we move What's up, man?
Hey, man. Listen, you know what's so crazy? I got to say it now. I wasn't going to say it, but since y'all have been bringing up these running backs and all that, right?
Go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
Hold up. In the beginning of the season, I kept trying to tell the fans, this Will with this Derrick Henry stuff. Get out. Who's the number one rusher in the league?
That'd be Derrick Henry.
Who's the fifth all-time rusher in the league?
That'd be Derrick Henry.
Okay. Now, I said we could have got Derrick Henry and could have got Saquon. I said Swift at first, but I said, since you're going to bring Saquon, get Derrick Henry. And now look at what we asking for, a Derrick Henry back, somebody that can actually carry the weight. That's what I was saying. You give him thunder and lightning. You give him speed and power. But nobody didn't see that concept when I kept trying to sell it.
Yeah, nobody see you. A visionary.
You're a visionary. Yeah. Well, we're trying to fix it now.
It's Joe's fault.
My fault.
You know, I just needed to blame somebody.
It's Hugh's fault.
But you know what?
I blame you.
I want to apologize to Sirianni for calling him a dummy. I don't like to call nobody out their name.
But you apologize to that man.
Let him cook. Yeah.
But you know what?
You should apologize more, Hugh.
The only thing I'm saying is stop.
I apologize.
No, stop overthinking things, Sirianni. Like, you know, you just got to go with the flow, man. Because, like, if nobody told you, you killed the momentum of the game, man. When you kept doing them two-point conversions and not getting it, you killed the momentum.
Totally.
So keep the momentum going and, you know, just get the win, man, because you don't have to prove yourself to nobody. The only thing you have to prove that we are winners.
Less is more. Less is more for Nick. All right, Will, what are you thinking here? Combo-con, we need a combination, a game day combo, Will.
Oh, man, how nobody said this, man. For as long, they've been doing it for the Diamond Duel, long as I've been living. Mike and Merle.
I was waiting for it.
That's such a good answer.
It's a great answer. Will, you're in the mix. That's a big one. 215-592-9494. We will talk to Ross Tucker next. NFL trade deadline is just hours from now. Every piece of news we get, we'll pass along. 215-592-9494. Would you trade 2 1s for Micah Parsons? Obviously, I would. Hughes doesn't really want to get the Super Bowl, we found out here. And Kyle hates Cowboys.
That is not what I said.
if you wanted to get there.
I mean, he's not. I mean, that's pie in the sky right there, Joe. That's
two ones. You make
him.
Jerry Jones might click yes on the yes or no without even knowing.
No, he definitely not.
No, I don't know about that. 215-592-94.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're not for some big day show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This one of your favorites, you?
Nope.
Okay. Welcome back, Midday Show. I mean, you could just say it is. You know, we got a guest coming.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna lie.
Hugh's not gonna lie. No. Now, hopefully, neither our next guest will either. His name is Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can follow him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL for his daily Ross report as we wait and follow the NFL trade deadline. And Ross, how you doing today?
I am doing awesome, and I appreciate the honesty and authenticity from Hugh. That's important.
I mean, I can only be me, Ross, and I know this is one of your favorite artists, and I don't want to do anything to disrespect you. That's why I make it my business to at least know who the artist is when they put them.
Well, you know, because we do this every week.
Yeah, I've gotten accustomed to it now.
Ross, speaking of honesty, I need your take on this before we get to any football stuff. So we're doing a giveaway today, and we're doing it with combinations, right? Your favorite game day combinations. And Ross, can you believe this about Hugh Douglas? He doesn't like the combination of food and drink, like a beer and wings.
I'm not a beer and wings guy.
You don't like any combination of food and drink?
It's the beer and wings.
So he doesn't like the combination of food with alcoholic drinks, specifically a beer. Or like
a wine and a steak something like that.
Like he doesn't get the concept. And I'm like, they pair together.
So I have a question, Hugh. I don't believe that. Are you saying that you don't ever drink alcohol while you're eating or vice versa?
No, I don't. I don't, because it just doesn't taste right to me. It's like it kind of, for me.
So it's like a separation of church and state for you.
Yeah, it is. Like, I'll drink a soda with my meal, but I like the alcohol. If I'm drinking alcohol, Ross, I'm drinking alcohol. And my favorite pairing is a beer and a shot. That's my favorite pairing. Now, as far as eating is concerned, I'm not doing too much of that.
Okay, so I have a question. You go out to a nice steakhouse, right?
Yes.
I know that, you know, you guys have sponsors. They come in. I think I was there one time when your glorious
Del Frisco's.
Yeah, Del Frisco's came in for breakfast. I don't know. I didn't even know they had breakfast, but they brought in breakfast.
Steak.
Okay.
For breakfast.
Yeah, so when you go to Del Frisco's and you sit down, okay, you obviously are going to order food.
Yes.
Because you're at Del Frisco's. So you order food. You don't order any alcohol?
Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Wow.
If I'm going out to Ross, I'm so regimented in that. Like, if I'm going out on a night on the town, I'll eat before I go out. And then if I'm out, I'm just drinking my dinner. Like, if I eat at 3 o'clock, that's the last time I'm eating if I'm going out drinking. That's it.
Yeah, no, you're a certified weirdo now that I know that. You're in the 1% of
1%. I promise you, I'm not the only person that's like that.
No, but there's not that many else. There's not many that many more.
I mean, and Hugh, that's not fun. Like, you know, like I go out to dinner with you and everybody else at the table is getting a beer, wine, or a vodka or whatever, and you're like, nope, I can't drink. I'm eating.
I don't. I do not do it. I do not do it.
A man of conviction here, Hugh Douglas. All right, Ross, let's get to the Eagles here and obviously what's going on around the NFL. So let's start with this, Ross, before we get to where this Eagles team is and how good they've looked last month. Ross, today is the NFL trade deadline. We've seen some moves already. Za'Darius Smith to the Lions, and the Cowboys, for some reason, added a wide receiver today, even though their season looks like it's in the tank. Ross, between now and the deadline, what do you think Howie Roseman should do? Where do you think he's looking to try to add to what they have here?
You know, Joe, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I've been thinking about it. I don't think they're going to make a move. And the reason why I say that is any position you throw at me, hey, they could make a move there. Like some people might say receiver, right? They kind of already did with Dotson. He just made a big play. They invested a third round pick in him. I don't see them getting another receiver. Okay, well, people might say D-end. Well, what edge guy are you going to get that you're confident is better than what you just paid Bryce Huff $17 million a year for? I mean, at this point, Bryce Huff played six snaps. The other snaps all went to BG and Nolan Smith as well as Sweat. I guess my point is I just don't see a player available at a position of quote-unquote need that the Eagles are going to think is better than the guys they already have or already got this offseason.
It's a fair point, Ross. It is not. Sometimes it's easy. Like, there's a huge hole here. Go fill that hole. They don't have that. Ross, let me throw you at you a kind of outside-the-box idea we've been talking about earlier today. So
if you look,
no, I'm going to give him the second outside-the-box idea.
Okay.
If you look at the team the last month, Ross, they've become the most run-heavy team in the NFL on early downs. It's a running team now. They don't have a need at running back. They may have an all-pro at running back. But you can never have too many bodies there, Ross, especially as the carries pile up for Saquon. What do you think of the idea of adding another back to the stable, especially if this thing is going to go through January and they're going to run the ball this much?
You know what I would like to see them do? So the answer is no, because what I would like to see them do is I would like to see them actually give Will Shipley some more carries.
Tell them again, Ross. Tell them again.
If they're gonna take some, like, do you see that? I mean, I know it got called back, but who was that 2 weeks ago where he had that touchdown?
Yes,
run?
Against the Bengals.
Yeah,
he looked sweet. I would actually like to start to see. Let's say Saquon's getting 70% of the snaps. Okay, rather than it being 30% Kenny G, Gainwell, I'd rather see those guys start to, like, split the reps. Gainwell's fine. I think Will Shipley might be a little better than fine. I think Shipley gives them some juice. I would, like, and that's another one. Like, what back are you going to trade for that's better than him? And I'll give you another one. They have, if you remember in the preseason, that Tyrion Davis Price,
yep,
who was a former third-round pick, I thought he looked good in the preseason. He's still on the practice squad. I'd probably rather bump him up than give draft picks for some guy like Dalvin Cook or, you know, like some older guy that is cooked. I'd rather give it to some young guy that's young and hungry. With this offensive line, Joe, in particular, I don't think you need to do that.
Interesting. Ross Tucker with us here. Trade deadline in a few hours. The Eagles, we wait to see if they do anything today. All right, Ross, let's go back to Sunday. I'm curious, you know, we've spoken before a lot, you know, and in your spots with us about Nick Sirianni and some of the things, in-game stuff that he does. I'm curious what you thought of Sunday. So it felt like he kept pushing the envelope, and then decisions just didn't work out on Sunday, right? Two-point conversions weren't converted. Fourth downs weren't converted. It was one of those games where you push the envelope, and almost every decision, even if it was rooted in some logic, didn't work. And we sit back and we're like, wait a second. That's a lot of points that could have been there that weren't, and then it, you know, became a close game. What did you make of Sirianni involved in a lot of big decisions Sunday that did not go his way?
Well, Joe, I like the way you framed it, right? Because for all of the decisions that he made, there's a percentage chance that they convert or they have success and a percentage chance they don't. In this game, they didn't convert any of them. So it's very easy in hindsight to be like, well, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. He's a horrible coach. I've talked to multiple analytics people since the game. They didn't have a problem with the decisions he made. They called it variance, that none of them were successful. I'll tell you the issue I have. There's two issues I have. I don't care what the analytics guys say. If you kick an extra point and it goes from a two-score game to a three-score game, you have to kick the extra point there. And if people say, oh, it's too early in the game and, you know, the tush-push is such a high percentage, I don't care. I think the difference between a two-score game and a three-score game is significant enough that they should have done that. Now, I also probably would have kicked the next extra point, but the next big issue I have is when they went for it on fourth and inches, and they went with the play-action pass. It's almost like, Joe, he had too much confidence in the tush push for the first two 2-point conversions, and then it didn't work, and he lost his confidence and kind of got spooked a little bit and didn't do it on 4th and inches later in the game. So out of all the decisions, I mean, obviously going for 2 late in the game, that was the right decision. We all know that, to make it a 14-point game. But I would say the 2 I have the biggest problem with were the first one, where he didn't make it a 3-score game. And then I thought the decision to go for it on 4th down was the right one. Hated, hated, hated that they called like a trick-em play action pass. Nothing was there. When you have a running back like that, when you have the success rate of the tush push, when you have Hurts, hey, if you want to have Hurts stand back there and do a quarterback power to make sure you win the game and get that first down, go for it. Those are the ones that really bothered me.
Yeah, Russ, for me, and I agree with what you said there, especially the last one. Russ, what gets me sometimes, I feel like, and it's not just Sirianni, it's a lot in the NFL now, that the coaches look at it, and if the recommendation is like 58-42 go, or this is the right decision, they just go. And I think you got to read the game. Like Sunday, you mentioned the 16 versus 17, right? Going for 2 or just kicking the extra point for 17. The Jaguars had like 30 yards the whole game. I'm sitting there at home doing the math. I'm like, did the Jaguars really have 4 scoring drives in them today in the second half? I thought probably not. You get this thing to 3 scores, you score one more time, you probably win. Ross, do you think these coaches sometimes don't recognize the game they're in and just look at the numbers or the analytics, what the decision should be, instead of just saying like, hey, today I don't need to do that?
Well, and that is always the flaw in the analytics, is that the analytics are determined going into the game. What if there's weather? What if a guy gets injured?
You mean intangibles?
These are tangibles. Like, so here's the thing. The analytics, right?
Mm-hmm.
The analytics don't know that A.J. Brown's out in the second half.
Oh, I got you.
And that,
yeah.
When you're making that decision, the analytics that says go for it on this situation, they think A.J. Brown's still on your team. So you can't be. Now, it's funny because, you know, you guys know I call games every week. So I'll talk to the coaches, and one of the points they'll say to me is they'll say, I always go by the book, because why do I want to say, you know, why do I want to say most of the time the book is right, but then sometimes I'm smarter than the book, you know, their analytics book. And I understand that logic too. Like, hey, I'm not going to pick and choose where I follow this. So I get that. But if something materially changes or based on the game flow, I think you absolutely have to take that into account. You know what I would say, Joe? I'm okay with whatever decision they make, as long as they are taking into account both the analytics and the math, as well as the game situation when they're making it. If they're only thinking about the book, or if they're only thinking about the game, you know, and their gut feel for it, both of those are wrong. Take them both into account and make the decision you think is best for your team at the moment.
Great stuff, Ross. And something tells me this isn't the last time we'll have this discussion like this with you this season. Ross, thank you for hopping on as always. Have a great week, and we'll check out the Ross Report on social media. Thank you, Ross.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Have a good one.
There he goes, Ross Tucker. Yeah, Hugh, I think it's really good the way he framed that, because in the Sirianni interview we played this morning, he talked about how much work they put into these decisions. Like, I believe him. He's not just on the sideline willy-nilly saying, yeah, go for it. Like, they've planned it out, right? They talk about it.
Yeah, but things change.
Things change, right? And I think, Hugh, one of them that I'm guessing, I don't know the answer to this, but Hugh, I'm guessing that they have had discussions about, if there's a penalty on the extra point and you can move the ball to the 1, we probably should just go for 2, right? Like, that seems like something that they think is the right idea. But like you've said all week, like Ross just said, the score is 16-0. The extra point makes it 17-0. That's a 3-score game, and the other team can't move the ball. Like, that's where you throw out, like, all right, we decided this. That's where I think you say, you know what?
Common sense.
We don't need to do it this time.
Yeah, common sense. It just tells you, hey, this makes no sense. They got 32 yards of total offense. 32. When I tell you, I sat on the sideline with my former teammates, and we're looking at it, because I remember the conversation like was just then. You know, I don't remember too many conversations.
You don't, yeah.
But Tri was like, he said, man, they got 32 yards. and Brian was like, why are they going for 2? And I was like, you know what? they haven't scored a touchdown, and they got 30. Like, I start looking at this the scoreboard,
so,
and I'm like, wow, why are they doing that?
I know I've been hard on Sirianni about this recently. This isn't just him. I think this is across sports now, right? We hear Topper talk about this stuff in baseball, right? They pick out, like, pockets of the lineup. That, oh, I'm going to use this reliever here. It's almost too much pre-planned, and then I think it's hard for them to pivot, like, in the moment and say, yeah, I know we planned this, but maybe not.
Well, far be it for me to question the 2004 Eagles, my favorite team growing up. Mm. I almost feel like when you know your defense is being that stingy, that's a spot where you can almost press the foot on the gas and say, you know what? I'm going to have my starters out of this game by the beginning of the first or the fourth quarter.
I hear what you're saying.
There's risk-reward, right?
Yeah,
that's the reward.
I hear what you're saying, but yeah. That one point puts that goal of yours even closer.
So are you talking about the 2-point conversions?
Yes.
The one before halftime.
If you take both of those 2-point conversions, it's 24-0, not 22-0. That's still three scores. The Jags just tied in that situation. So if you get one of those 2 points and then kick the extra point, you are up by a spot where it's four scores. I mean, that's a huge difference, that 1 point.
But there is a thing called momentum. And I feel like as a you know, guy that's played the game, that when you allow a Jacksonville Jaguars team to hang around the way that they did, they build confidence. The only thing that kept us from losing that game or kept them from winning the game, I should say, was Trevor Lawrence was garbage down there.
I disagree. I think the reason the Jags had momentum was because of that ridiculous Saquon fumble. Other things don't matter. If that doesn't happen.
You didn't see that. You didn't feel like that defense was playing kind of salty towards the end?
No, Hugh, when it was 22-8, I was like, no problem whatsoever. This game's still over.
I thought that they were
due to let up maybe one, you know, throwaway trash touchdown drive to the Jags. 22-8 was nothing to me. It was when it got to 16-22 that where you're like, uh-oh. And that was the biggest swing in that game was the Saquon fumble. That was almost a 15-point swing.
I agree with your premise, Kyle. You could put the game away earlier, get it to four scores earlier by getting more points. There is something, though. I don't know if it's just mental or not. When you go in the half down three scores, you lost.
That's what I'm saying. It's a mental thing.
You're feeling like
the game is out of reach. They probably went into the halftime and said, hey, we just held them. The 16 points.
Well,
but my point
one,
is 24,
so
24 and 22 are both three scores.
No, I know, but 17 and 16 are different. It's only 1 point, but you know what I mean? Like, you go in that locker room, you just as a fan watching, you're up three scores. You think the game is over. It's just, I don't know why. Maybe it's
not. It's a tougher role to hoe.
Like,
when it's
like the other team gets the ball back. They're like, we score here, we're down one score. You know what I mean? They can't say that in their minds, down 17.
I guess, but I think the risk of, or the reward of being able to just end the game right there. Like, coaches do this all the time. When you get the penalty from the 2-yard line and it cuts it in half to one, and we have the tush push, you think we should be able to get that yard.
You do think that.
We just failed on our best executed play for the last 3 years.
One more thing before we go back to phone lines here. How about Ross saying he doesn't believe the Eagles are going to do anything by the deadline?
That was interesting.
That would be very disappointing.
I agree. And I understand his point that there's not one super total glaring weakness. Like, they have nothing there. But I don't know. They're 6-2. Like, shouldn't we want Howie Roseman to get, even if it's just depth, like... I also think it's a boost to the team saying, I believe in you.
It's not always about fixing an immediate need. It's about strengthening what you have.
That was Jay Ajayi. They did not have a big hole running back. All right, Tom in Middletown is up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Tom?
Man?
Listen, Hugh, before we even get this conversation started, I want to know, how did you do with your parlay last night? Did you win that?
You know what? I missed it by one leg. The Travis Kelce touchdown.
I don't give a shit.
Dude, I'm following you. I'm like not 100% copying your picks.
Poor guy,
you're on fire.
Wow, you're gonna go broke.
Listen, I hate that. I think I got a little greedy. I'm gonna start keeping them to like 4-leg parlays.
Well, listen,
it all depends. I just should have kept it to 4.
If I lose $2 a day, I'm not gonna be upset.
No, that's what I'm saying. I could have been up $40. That'd have been a nice little coat.
$40?
$40.
The whole family gets presents this year. Go ahead, Tom.
Listen, Joe, let me get to my point. I agree with you. Micah Parsons is a talent that you would want to have on your team, but you're not giving two first-round draft picks to a team in your division who, by the way, will probably have Bill Belichick as their coach next year. I am not giving Bill Belichick a jump start in the new division with two first-round draft picks for somebody he's probably going to jettison anyway because he's not a player for Bill Belichick.
Oh, I don't know about that. You think Belichick would want to move off of Parsons? Bill Belichick had Lawrence Taylor half drunk sacking the quarterback.
No, I think his point is you take Parsons from them and then give Bill the two first to rebuild the team with.
I get it.
That's not.
I'm not worried about a Cowboys rebuild. What am I worried about 3 years from now for?
But it's part of it. It's not the main thing you need to worry about, but it's a negative of what you of getting Parsons.
I got you guys. And listen, if he was 32 years old, I'd say, all right, this is a short-term gain for a big long-term loss. This is a long-term gain for maybe also a long-term loss. I'm okay with it.
But there's a more economical way to do this, and I would like to have Michael Parsons, because I'll tell you what, I think he's got like a diva mentality of a wide receiver,
diva.
And he's a vibe player. He's got to be on a team where he feels a vibe. Right now, he's packed it in. Mm. He's done down there in Dallas. They got to move him, but I am not giving up two number ones to a coach that's going to come into my division who is – probably one of the best coach or the best coach ever.
Well, sure.
And give him two first round draft picks to start out with.
I hear you, Tom. All right, something's got to swing big here. All right, Tom, what do you got for a great combination game day combo?
I'll tell you what. I'm simple, man. I'm a steak and potato guy. I like a good cheesesteak with some loaded potato skins.
Cheesesteak and potato skins.
That sounds pretty good.
That works. That works. You guys are a little bit too scared of the future of the Cowboys. I don't care.
I mean, I think it's more looking at it. You don't want to strengthen your rival.
So that's not like the main issue here. Like,
right.
I think that it's part of the whole package of why it's not really. I think there's more negatives than positives. That's one of them, but that's not the main deterrent. It's like, oh my God,
but
the Cowboys.
Also,
that is part of it.
They're losing their best player. So one of those picks is probably just replacing him anyway. You realize that? So like they're going to add potentially one impact player because they're going to likely would use one of those two picks to replace their best player who's now here.
I understand that, but you also have to factor in that the Cowboys have been notoriously pretty good at building their team through the draft.
Yeah.
And they bounce back pretty quick. Like for all the crap we give the Cowboys and other dumpster fire, they tend to get off the mat pretty quickly, and it's because they draft well.
Sure, and then I'm sure they would turn into good picks, and then I would turn into Micah Parsons here on the Eagles. 2-1.
And then we have no money and no first-round draft picks.
And we got a loaded team between 24 and 27 years old for the next couple years. 215-592-9049 for coming up with your calls on the deadline, plus game day combos. And we're going to get to a roundup here of all the news and rumors around the NFL. Za'Darius Smith has been traded to the Detroit Lions. The Cowboys, for some reason, are adding wide receivers now.
That's wild.
We'll get you an update there, but we got to get to what Paul George said after a ridiculous ending to the Sixers last night, his first game in a Sixers uniform. You got to hear how it ended and what he said about it, plus a potential return date for Joel Embiid. We'll throw that out to you next. 215-592-9049 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.